Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to learn the halachas that relate to the night of Yom Kippur. This is Simon Kuf Lamed Beis 132 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're going to be looking at 16 questions because it's a short topic today. Let's jump straight in. How does the night of Yom Kippur start? So people come to shul early. Remember, there's a mitzvah Tosefes Yom Kippurim, adding on to Yom Kippur. And people start by just saying and reciting to themselves the Tefillah Zakah, the penitence prayer. It's a prayer which is very, very personal. It's very meaningful and relating to talking to Hashem before one enters Yom Kippur. The most prominent person in the community then takes a Sefer Torah from the Aron and walks around to the Bima, and people kiss the Torah on the way. Why do they do this? So it's a symbolic way of asking forgiveness for having offended the Torah and not having kept up to its prayer, its statutes and its ideas. It is by this movement, by this action, it is resolving to live a life that reflects more the laws inside the Torah. What's next? So then at the Bima they recite Or Zaruah LaTzadik, which is a pasuk in Tehillim Tzadi Zion 97, a number of times. And then the person who's leading the community stands with the Baal Tefillah, stands to the right of the Baal Tefillah with the Sefer Torah, and then another prominent member of the shul stands to the left with another Sefer Torah, and together they say this phrase, which is B'yeshiva shalmata, B'yeshiva shalmata, B'yeshiva shalmata, on a matir nisbalim arvayanim, in the heavenly court and in the earthly court, we allow ourselves to daven with those who are not righteous. What does that mean? So this is Yom Kippur, is a time where everybody comes to shul. Those who live perhaps more ideal lifestyles and less ideal lifestyles, everybody's coming to Hashem. And even those who live more ideal spiritual lifestyles still have problems. So it's allowing us to daven all together, even those who have things which are missing in their lives spiritually. We're all starting this together. What's next? Then the Baal Tefillah will recite three times in the special melody the Kol Nidre prayer, and it's started quietly and then it gets louder each of the three times. It is the practice to start it before while it's still day and to prolong it until nightfall. What is the point of this? So on a most basic level, the Mishnah Berurah explains that it is a statement which invalidates future vows, which will be to be made in the future year, but it does not help if a person makes a vow relying on it not being good. So if I make a promise, whether to a friend or to Hashem, and I say, oh well, I said Kol Nidre, it doesn't really count, wink wink, then that doesn't work. It's a default statement. Or there's a bracha of Shechianu, which is said where that Hashem allowed us to be alive at this point in time, that Hashem allowed us to be present on this Yom Kippur. So what should the Baal Tefillah have in mind when he's saying it, and what should everybody else be doing? So the Baal Tefillah should be thinking to exempt the community of this. However, every person in the shul should also be saying it silently with the Baal Tefillah, and then speed up at the end to finish ahead of him so that they may respond amen to his bracha as well. Who should not be saying Shechianu together with the Baal Tefillah? So any woman who recited it when lighting their Shabbos Yom Kippur candles, or any men who also lit candles at home, should not say it with the Baal Tefillah. How is Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusoy L'Lavo Ed recited on Yom Kippur? So it is recited out loud on Yom Kippur, both in the morning, the evening and the morning prayers on Yom Kippur. Why is this? So this is because we are like angels. When the statement of Baruch Kavod Hashem, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusoy L'Lavo Ed reflects HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, his reign being eminent and being clear in the world, and we live in a world where that's not clear, so only angels are able to say this. We're not able to say it here on earth. But on Yom Kippur, it's like angels. We're in a state where we're somewhat closer to the ideal, and we are therefore allowed to say it. It's interesting, Rav Nebensal makes the observation that it should be the other way around. We should say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusoy L'Lavo Ed at the end of Yom Kippur, on the Maariv after Yom Kippur, after 25 hours of fasting. That's when we're in an angel. At the beginning of Yom Kippur, you're still just suffering from indigestion because of the amount of food you stuffed into yourself before you're getting into Yom Kippur, so that's a less angelic moment. When he points out, it's not about where your body is, it's about where your mind is. At the beginning of Yom Kippur, you have aspirations. I mean, you're going to use the 25 hours, you're going to use every second to come closer, to be better, to aspire, to rise. And yet, at the end of Yom Kippur, sometimes we just try to think about getting to the coffee, getting to something to eat, and therefore one's mind already at the Maariv, at the end of Yom Kippur, is in a different place already, unfortunately. But at the beginning of Yom Kippur, this is where the aspiration, the potential exists. What is the preferred position to be on over Yom Kippur? So some suggest that it's best to stand the entire davening for the night and the day, and leaning if one is faint. This is in order to emulate angels. If someone accepted this custom, and then becomes like a permanent thing for them, they need to do Hataras Nedarim, an annulment, in order to stop this practice. So if one's trying to start this practice, one should do it with a Bli Neder, not to fall into this. But in general, people should be standing more than they should be sitting. Obviously, if a person is elderly, a person is sick, a person is not able to do this, that's completely understandable. What is done after the davening? So some remain in shul all night, singing songs of praise. So there's certain shirim which are found in the machzor. There's tehillim. There's learning of Torah. And if they fall asleep, they're allowed to fall asleep in the shul, and they just move further away from the Aaron, from the ark. However, the Baal Tefillah should not stay away because it weakens their voice for the next day. The Mishnah Berurah points out that it's probably a bad idea for people to sleep at home so they're able to focus the next day on Yom Kippur and not fall asleep in shul. He also points out that if a person is not saying Tehillim or learning in shul, one should not be staying in the shul. It's not a place for schmoozing. It's certainly not the appropriate day for that either. What should one recite before going to sleep on the Yom Kippur night for men? So the halacha is the man should say the first four chapters of Tehillim. Why is this? So it has a certain it is a certain segula for men to avoid nocturnal emissions, which is considered a very bad thing on Yom Kippur. These four Mizmorim in Tehillim have 306 words, and if you add the Tehillim, if you add the four Tehillim itself from 306, it goes to the 310, which is the Gematria of Keri, which is a nocturnal emission for a man. And if you calculate the first and last letters plus four and the Kollel, it gives you 131, which is the Gematria of Samael, which is the prosecuting agent, so it's intended to annul his influence on this day. What happens? What is advised when going to sleep for a man? It's best that a person sleep with less heavy pillows, less heavy blankets that cause heat to avoid the concern of a nocturnal emission on the night of Yom Kippur. With this, we conclude the evening of Yom Kippur. Tomorrow we'll start with the next section, which is Halachas Yom Kippur itself. Have a wonderful and meaningful.